Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 71, the stanzas 3 and 4. My one request has been, and still this prayer I raise, that I may dwell within God's house through all my days. And what follows, Psalter 71, the stanzas 3 and 4. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 27, the verses 14 through 26. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 27, the verses 14 through 26. But not long after there arose against it at the tempest wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long absences, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island.'" Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Peter Bell and family with the death of a sister-in-law in the Netherlands, Jannie Bell, at the age of 69 years. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Eternal, unchangeable, almighty God, the Father of all mercies, the fountain of all good, then thou wast granted in thy goodness and in thy faithfulness unto us and our children another Lord's Day, that is a precious gift from heaven, which thou wast given unto the children of men, that a day may be set aside, that we may tend especially to the needs of our soul. Then we may thank and acknowledge thee that thou wast graciously watched over each and every one of us in the home, on the way, at work, wherever we were called to be. Then from thy throne on high, then thou wast beheld the children of men and directed everything according to thy divine providence, and from thy throne where thou art high and lifted up, thou shalt pay regard to the destitute, and thou hearest the needy when they cry. And Lord, then it is so profitable that at the end of each week, but also on the Lord's Day, that we may be given to reflect on the week gone by, but also on our journey behind, in troubles and dangers oft, but where thou hast graciously watched over us hitherto, where thou hast not dealt according to our many sins, also of the past week, and where we may still be in the precious day of grace, and still live in a country where we may freely come up to thy courts, and that in a difference with so many upon the face of the earth on account of persecution, on account of sickness and many other reasons, O Lord. May it then be all thy goodness that we may be humbled thereunder. And in this morning hour, be given to bow. Oh, may it be as with the publican of old, that he did not dare to look up to heaven on account of his sins, but given to smite his heart, and with the prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, O Lord. Then we humbly beg of thee in this morning hour, that thou may dwell richly amongst us, and that thy word may be blessed, O Lord. Wilt thou convert the unconverted? Convert our little boys and our little girls. Convert our young people, convert the middle-aged, and convert the elderly ones. Wherefore each and every one of us, we have come 1 week closer to that final meeting with thee, and the week that lies behind us can never be redone. It is all recorded in thy book. And then we do well to examine ourselves where our sins are, whether they are all, each and every one of them, in thoughts, words, and deeds, whether they are still on our account, or whether they have been washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, spare us, that we build not upon sandy foundations, and wilt thou remember thy Zion. Thou knowest where they are encamped, thou knowest their condition, and thou knowest how they have come up in this morning hour, ah, Lord. Then thou hast a people upon the earth that learn more and more, that it is all of grace, that thou needst to grant those lively desires by the first time, and also by renewal. But then it is also the work of the Spirit to fulfill those desires, ah, Lord. For those souls that have come up with a hunger and a thirst, with a desire, perhaps an expectation, ah, wilt thou gladden them with thy presence and with thy speaking and with thy embrace. So we commend also the branch unto thee, where families, where they may gather in a faraway place, in a house of worship, and where in this day a brother elder, he may serve them. Wilt thou also help him stand on his right and on his left, and that the labors may be blessed, that it may be for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy great and worthy name. Lord, then we commend unto thee all the sorrowing ones. A father and mother have received the tidings that a beloved sister-in-law is no more. For her it has become eternity. Wilt thou remember him who has now become widower? Wilt thou remember the family circle? Wilt thou also remember the family amongst us? May it please thee that this calling may be sanctified for the coming of thy kingdom. So we commend unto thee all widowers, widows, orphans, and those that have brought dear ones to the grave, where those places remain so void and so empty, ah, Lord. May that emptiness be filled with thyself, with thy divine presence. We commend all our elderly ones unto thee. We remember our care home, their residence, those that may lovingly care for them, and those that may still go in and out in the evening of their life, oh, above all things, do save their never-dying souls. Well, to remember all those that are under the physician's care, those that struggle with weariness and continual pain. Remember those that stand in need of healing and strengthening. Grant them that place at thy footstool. The psalmist of old has declared, when my soul was overwhelmed within me, and then thou knewest my path, and that all these special callings, that they may be sanctified, that they may be used for the saving of souls, for sin-sick souls, to be brought under the care of that heavenly physician, to be pardoned of their sins. We remember the handicapped ones, the burdens and the crosses. It is all known unto thee and all, Lord. When thou granteth unto us health and strength, also in the midst of the family circles, when at the moment there are no particular crosses and losses, may we then be given to stand still, and may it then be the goodness of the Lord that leadeth to true repentance. O Lord, thou knowest how deeply we have fallen, that without the application of the Holy Spirit, that thou can send the greatest trials and troubles, that thou can shower us with manifold blessings, but that our heart is so hard. But, Lord, and now it is thy work to make that heart soft. May that take place in this morning hour, by the first time and by renewal with that low place at thy footstool, with a desire that thy name may be honored and glorified. Lord, we may acknowledge thee that in the past week, that many could gather together for the teachers' conference. May it be blessed, may it be used, may it grant courage. Remember our Christian schools, and now we humbly beg of thee for thy help. Send help from the sanctuary, and strengthen out of Zion, and that thy word may go forth with power divine. Lord, blessed grand tokens of thy special favor unto us and our children. And what greater token could thou grant than that sons and daughters are born in Zion, and that thy children may be instructed and edified. We have to confess from our side, forfeited, undeserved, and sinned away. But, Lord, do it. Thou hast said, I do it not for your sake, but I do it for my great name's sake. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 115, the four stanzas. As pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. I thirst for thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come thy gracious face to see? And what follows, the extra collection today is for the school, Psalter 115, the four stanzas. in this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Acts 27, the verses 20 through 25. And we shall read the verses 23 and 24. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Our text words speak of Paul's comforting testimony in the midst of the stormy sea, with three thoughts. In the first place, the need for this testimony. Secondly, the reminder in this testimony. And thirdly, the confession by this testimony. Paul's comforting testimony in the midst of the stormy sea. The need for this testimony. The reminder in this testimony. And the confession by this testimony. Thus first, the need for this testimony. Beloved congregation, we have considered the last times the journey of Paul to Rome with a destination. And so we are all like a little ship sailing on the sea of this world, and there are only two destinations. Then the Lord has granted in this week that our ship may sail a little further. We have all come 1 week closer to the end and to that never-ending and all-decisive eternity. And congregation, how has it now been with our little ship? Have we thought of those things? Have we been at the throne of grace? Have we examined where our journey is to? And then we have heard much contrary winds, a terrible storm. Then we have heard of those quicksands on the northeastern shore of the coast of Africa many times, called the graveyard of shipmen in the days in which the apostle lived. Oh, may the Lord keep us, and may the prayers be multiplied where there are more quicksands, more dangers than ever before. And how many get stuck in those quicksands without ever being delivered? But for the Lord, not the normal way, but for the Lord, nothing is too wonderful. Then we have heard that they have lightened the ship, that with their own hands they have cast much overboard. Congregation, has that happened in our day, in this past week? Have you cast a few sinful things overboard? Or Are you still holding on to them, thinking that they shall make you happy? But the shipman, he had an impression that if they kept those things on board, the ship would be too heavy and that it would sink in the storm. I read in the city of Ephesus, when the Apostle Paul was given to preach law and gospel, that they have gathered many sinful things, books of magic, and they brought it to a pile. They burned it, 50,000 pieces of silver. And now when the Lord works by His Spirit, and the Spirit worketh that godly sorrow, then we are given to see the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and then that godly sorrow that worketh repentance. And then it shall not be strange to us what those shipmen have done. This sin, that sin we have stated the past week, for the one it can be a greater struggle, to try to hold on to our idols. But we have heard that the shipmen, they have cast it overboard. But then it is evident in this chapter, when they have lightened the ship, that the storm has not become less. Are there souls that understand it? When the Lord works, as I read in our Heidelberg Catechism, in Lord's Day number 33, then there shall be a hatred and fleeing of sin. Does not mean that the world shall leave us alone and the temptations. Does not mean, that people do not have much trouble with that heart. Times with the lightning of the ship, that all people of God used to say when it is well to do less sin and to become a greater sinner. Because the Lord is so holy and so just that He cannot overlook one sin. Are there such souls traveling their little ship? They have cast much overboard, and we have mentioned it. What is the desire? Would it be possible to take the evil heart and to throw it overboard? But it has not pleased the Lord. Shall be that old man and that new man. But now we read something further in the life of those shipmen. Not only lightened the ship, but they have also thrown the tackling overboard, the tackling that was used to guide and to steer that ship. And that was the question that we have ended with. Have you thought about a congregation? What that tackling refers to? Are there souls that are exercised therewith? Because 'tis the work of the Spirit in the life of the true people of God to make room for that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who can save to the uttermost, because He has come upon this earth. He has come in the storm of God's wrath. The solemns, all thy waves and thy billows, they have went over me. and there was none to rescue. He has suffered, he has died. He has cried out, it is finished. And to that end, there is forgiveness and there is salvation for the chiefest of sinners. But now the question, what does that tackling now refer to? There's a people upon the earth that knows what it is. They have learned that they must die to sin. And what does that people now do? Oh, then it is simple. Then they must believe that they know. But the Lord has a people that needs to be taught every step of the way. And then they become so busy to save their little ship in that storm by their works, by their repentance, by their tears, experience, providential deliverances. The list is long. They are precious things. They are those pearls that the Spirit grants to His people. But what must that people now learn? That with all those matters mentioned, that they cannot save their little ship. A demanding justice that requires payment. And then in the further leadings, then the child is given to learn that in the part of justification, that it does not add anything to the balance. It only increases their guilt. When they may be instructed, then they are given to see. And of course, concerning those matters, then those souls, then they must not despise the day of small things. As I read in Zechariah 4 verse 10, that can bring a soul into much darkness. I read in Matthew 13, the verses 45 and 46, that there was a merchantman dealing in goodly pearls, and oh, he has gathered many, and the Lord has a people that know what it is, and that's why they love to come up to God's house. When they may receive such a little pearl from on the field of the greater Boaz, then they may go home so happy. But they are given to learn that with all those goodly pearls they have gathered, that it cannot satisfy justice. The justice of God, which requires perfection. And then we read that that merchantman, oh, when that pearl of great price, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior for sinners, then he has traded all those pearls in that he may gain the pearl of great price. What a lesson. Souls, how far can you come? First the lightening of the ship, and then the tackling, that by our works, by the works of the flesh, Romans 3 verse 20, we cannot be saved. The church will learn that it is free and sovereign grace. And further, then we read a further step, that also the wheat has went overboard, we shall leave that lie. And now we read in this portion of Scripture concerning their journey with the lightening of the ship and with the throwing of the tackling of the ship with our own hands. that those are matters that are experienced in the heart. And then we read, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, the sun, or boys and girls know it, that in the times of the New Testament, that shipmen, they did not have the instruments that we do, but that they sailed by the sun, the moon, and the stars, and many times by landmarks. But now we read concerning the journey, and when neither sun, and in the scriptures the sun, that is an emblem of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of Malachi 4 verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness appear with healing in his wings. And then the stars, no stars, they are an emblem in the Bible of the promises which the Lord has given to his church. Think of Genesis 15, when the Lord appeared to Abram, and the Lord says, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Lord, what wilt thou give me? This Eliezer shall be my heir. And then the Lord says, Abram, come now outside and look at those twinkling stars, so shall thy seed be. Ah, for the church of God, they learn more and more how dependent they are upon the immediate influence of the Holy Spirit. Oh, for Paul, he is not forgotten. He knew what has taken place in his life. Damascus. Oh, how often souls can think, if I now was converted as a Paul, then I would never doubt. Then I could always believe. Oh, a Paul, a knowledge of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Paul, with a promise given to him in Acts 23, verse 11, be of good cheer, Paul, as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so thou must appear before Caesar, does Paul. Then it is not so difficult. You must believe. Has Paul forgotten that promise? Oh no. When the Lord speaks, there are times of the Lord speaking that people shall never forget. But now to exercise faith, they learn, so dependent upon the Holy Spirit. There can be those contrary ways. Can be times that the seems that the promises mock, and the waves that they shall soon cover them. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us. And then Luke has written, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Thus surely a deep way upon that ship, children of God, servants of the Most High. Oh, Paul, how he has preached concerning that precious Savior, prophet, priest and king, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 2, determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And yet, in these 14 days, then we do not read that Paul or Luke or Aristarchus has spoken under that stormy storm, the waves over the ship. Then there was silence also concerning the people of God. The church learns the preciousness, the necessity to be administered out of that threefold office of Christ as prophet to instruct, priest. What do you think, boys and girls? Do you not think they have prayed? Oh, how they must have prayed. Many times a short prayer. When the wave has come over the boat, seemed that it would go to the bottom. Lord, help. Lord, save. But how they must have prayed. But it is evident in our history that they have not received that special opening at the throne of grace concerning their ship. Because if that had taken place, then they would have spoken. Then Luke would have said, Paul, Aristarchus, the Lord in this past night has given such an opening and freedom, so bound upon my heart by the Spirit, that the Lord has given some peace in my heart, that I may firmly believe concerning our journey. Psalm 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But we read none of those things with that tempest. 14 days silence, and I repeat it, the church does not forget what has taken place. And for Paul, his state lies sure in the work of a triune God. But his condition, we read in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 3, after Paul has written concerning that testimony, I determined not to know anything save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Well then, Paul, then you have no worries, you have no cares and no fears, and oh, it is true. When it may be granted, and it is granted. 1 Peter 5 verse 7, casting all thy care upon him, for he careth for you. When the church, Lord's Day number 10, when they may be given to behold that everything is directed by that wise and powerful God, the waves, the height, the power, that even the hairs on their head are all counted, and not one can drop without the will of that Heavenly Father. Then what an easy life they have, like a little child that is cared for by their parents, given to trust their parents, no worries and no cares concerning outward life. I hope you have worries about your soul, boys and girls. But on that ship, for 14 days, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Thus there was no hope from man's side. Was hope from the Lord's side. Because the Lord has promised that he must come and roam. And shall I say it and not do it? Has the Lord forgotten to be kind? Shall I his promise faithless find? But then the true child of God needs the work of the Holy Spirit to embrace and to hold on to it. There is a Christendom in our day. They can hold on to everything. A Bible full of text, and that is true. Paul also. He was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. A great knowledge of the Old Testament. What the Psalms are given to write and the prophets. That he is wonderful in counsel and mighty indeed. And that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. And that the Lord shall never forsake the work of his own hands. But the true child of God, each time by renewal, then they need that immediate working of the Holy Spirit. Must not misunderstand it. Must not think, congregation, that the power and the fulfillment of the promises that depends upon the faith of the church, then it would be forever lost. Those promises, they lie firm, yea and amen, in Christ Jesus, as we read in the epistle to the Corinthians. But the church learns that faith is a gift of God. And now for Paul to speak, what did he now desire? Then he desired that the Lord would first speak to him. Oh, what precious instruction. Our second thought, the reminder in this testimony. But after long abstinence, 14 days because of the storm, maybe seasickness, anxiety, cares, and worries that they have not eaten or drinking or at least very little. But then there came a time that Paul has begun to speak because the Lord has spoken to him. And I read in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What a comfort for that people on the ship, that the servant of the Most High had a word to speak. Greatest judgment that comes upon a people is when the Lord is so silent and still a blessing, boys and girls, when we may come to God's house and the Lord speaks and the Lord calls and the Lord invites. But now concerning that speaking, one that's speaking has little or no effect. How is that with us? There are those times, the word of God, that it enters into our heart. And then we become active. Because then we need the Lord. What a privilege for that whole crew and all those passengers, that there were a few people of God, a few servants on that ship. Because I read in Isaiah 1 verse 9, that the prophet has said, except the Lord has left in the midst of us a very small remnant, we would have become as Sodom and Gomorrah. And we read in Genesis 18 that if there had only been 10 people of God, even boys and girls, that truly feared the Lord, then those wicked cities would have yet been spared. Thus, what a privilege and what a blessing. Oh, what numbers there are upon the earth. Where the Lord, of course, the Lord speaks in the way of creation. But what multitudes where the candlestick of God's holy word has departed. A people given over, that's the greatest judgment that can come upon a people. And now, how did Paul begin as an ambassador of heaven? Then he was first given to exhort them. And then we read in verse 22, in verse 21, and after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, a title of respect. And then he exhorted them, Ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete. After 14 days, Paul had maybe spoken those words the first day, when he had spoken when they have left the fair havens. And the wind was blowing so softly and so sweetly, then that people would have not listened. But now with that great storm, and after 14 days, then that people have eagerly listened, it cannot be different. That there was one that was given to break that long silence of 14 days. And then Paul has admonished them, Sirs, do you remember that you were warned not to leave fair havens, to remain there till the winter was over, but ye have not hearkened? How is it with us, congregation, with our listening, with our hearing, and with our obedience concerning this word of God? Of course, without the application of the Holy Spirit in people, the Lord can shower us with the greatest blessings. The wind, the south wind, can blow softly. May we be given to ask where the judgments of the Lord are hanging low over this earth. May we be given to beg more fervently that the Lord, as I read in Romans 2 verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance? How has it been in the past week? There have been a few given to consider maybe your little ship, family circle, no empty places, no sickness. And there are trials, of course, but no serious crosses. And that you have thought, ach Lord, thou art now so good, and I am so evil. Ah, may it please thee that all thy goodness, that it may work that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance, need to come to us knowledge of that precious Savior. But they have not hearkened. 'Tis a privilege and a blessing when we still have a tender and a speaking conscience, and when storms come, that we are given to think of our life, a special sin, when we bow our knees, and the Lord sends troubles that sin appears before us, that we know why. Of course, the Lord is sovereign. Job has said in Job 10, verse 2, wherefore contendest thou with me? But now it is especially when the Lord begins that good work. Ah, those exhortations. We are given to think back what we have done. Loving admonishment is a blessing when the Lord keeps us on a short rope, even in our unconverted state. But whether we have now lived in the church, our best not to grieve parents and office bearers, or whether, I hope you may be kept, going astray, when the Lord begins that good work, oh, the exhortations that we are brought back, that warning, a calling, a death, a serious sermon, maybe that even we have promised to the Lord that we would seek the Lord more diligently. But we have continued on our way. Then it comes back. Woe unto us. Woe unto me that I have sinned. And to that end, Paul honestly admonished, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete. That's the place where they have been. Then her life comes back. Think of that prodigal son in Luke 15. And to have gained this harm and loss. Let us first sing. Psalter 128, the three stanzas. God is our refuge and our strength, a helper ever near us. We will not fear though earth be moved, for God is nigh to cheer us. And what follows, 128, the three stanzas. Paul's comforting testimony in the midst of the stormy sea. The need for this testimony, the reminder in this testimony, and now thirdly, the confession by this testimony. The Lord shall never forsake His people. We read of the high priest in the Old Testament that in his official duties He carried the breastplate upon his heart. With the 12 names of the tribes of Israel, and so the church, they have a king at the right hand of the Father. And it is true, many times it pleases the king to lead them in mysterious ways. And Christ has said in John 13, verse 7, what I doest now thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. And it is all sin and love. And Paul has written to the Romans in Romans 8, verse 20, for we know that all things work together to them that love God and those that are called according to his purpose. He tries his people for many reasons, that their prayers may be more fervent, that they may be more cleansed of self. He tries his people, as I read in Romans 5, the verses 3 through 5, in the exercise of that patience experiencing hope. He exercises his people that they learn more and more what remains of self, and above all things, that his great and worthy name may be glorified. In their troubles and their trials, then it can seem, I read in Isaiah 49, the verses 14 through 16, where Zion has said that the Lord had forsaken, my Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget her sucking child? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget. Behold, I have engraven thee upon the palms of my hand, and thy walls are continually before me. Then in their troubles and in their trials, then Christ said to his dove, O my dove, that art in the cleft of the rock, the secret places of the stairs, let me hear thy voice and see thy countenance, for sweet is thy voice and comely is thy countenance. The salvation for the true church that lieth so firm in the work of a triune God. And then Paul was given to say to all that people, oh, how they must have listened. I think, boys and girls, you can understand that after 14 days, that the crew, the passengers, the prisoners, because they were all in the same storm, that they were all ears, so glad that a message, the silence may be broken, and there may still be a message. Do we sometimes sin God's house in such a way? A little bewilderment, that we may still have a place in his courts, that we may still hear the word of God And then what a wonder it becomes. Ah, the Lord has a people. When they make lean something in God's house. And now we read that Paul was given to exhort them. And then he has said, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Christ has spoken those words three times we read in the Gospels. May I ask your congregation, what would now give you good cheer? What would now be the point that would make you blessed and happy? We read of Christ in Matthew 9, verse 2, that he has said to that man, sick of the palsy, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Is that our desire, congregation? Has that become our main concern? Not wrong to ask for temporal blessings, but temporal blessings without the pardoning of our sins, and then to appear before our Maker the second time in Matthew 14 upon the stormy sea in Galilee. When Christ has walked upon the waves, they were affrighted. Be of good cheer. And a third time in John 16, verse 33, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And then Paul was given to tell all that people that not one life, for there shall not be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Do you hear it, young people? All those passengers and those prisoners, they would be saved because there was a people of God aboard. Then you can make the application. And I hope, young people, no, the church cannot save us, but there, that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, may be proclaimed, and the way how that a poor sinner may come into possession of him, the leadings, that true saving faith. But how foolish it would be if there were passengers on that stormy sea with a servant of the Lord exhorting, but saying, be of good cheer, be not overly discouraged, the King, the right of the hand of the Father, he is gathering his church. Those young people, I hope that you do not jump overboard. It's an awful thing when in the providence of God we have been born under the truth, the inheritance of our forefathers entrusted unto us. No, God's people cannot save us. But special promises in the scriptures concerning the house of God. Special presence, special blessing, special favor. Has that become a good place for us, congregation? Has it become a special place? I read in Psalm 27, we have sung out of Psalter 71, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of God all the days of my life, to behold His beauty and to inquire in His temple." And now Paul was given to explain. He has received instruction from heaven, particular instruction, concerning their particular case, what the church desires. And then he was given to explain the reason why there would be no loss of life, the ship only, because he has stated, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God." I read in Job 35, verse 10, "But no man saith, where is God my maker, that giveth psalms in the night?" Oftentimes it pleases the Lord to grant unto His people special prayer and special instruction during the night watches. Think of Father Jacob in Genesis 28, Bethel, ladder, and in Genesis 32, Peniel, where he received that new name. Theodore Brackel, it's the father of Wilhelmus Brackel, who has written The Reasonable Service, a very godly man. And what he has written would not be possible for many a child of God, because it seemed like that man needed very little sleep. And then he has written in his book concerning the experience of the true church, that it was his custom that he would go to bed and sleep some hours, and that he would arise to praise and magnify his God for the wonderful works of providence and of grace, and to lay the needs, family, church, country, before the Lord. Concerning the ministry of angels, much mysterious, we cannot understand, because boys and girls, we cannot see the angels. According to 1 Corinthians 10, 11, verse 10, when the Apostle Paul is given to speak of long hair for women plus their head covering, when they come publicly under prayers and under God's word, then the Apostle was given to tell that at the worship services, that the holy angels, that they are present. Should that not fill us with much awe and reverence? For Paul was an angel that has appeared in bodily form many times in the scriptures, of a creature with wings. And then Paul was not given to speak his own words, but the words what she has received as an ambassador of heaven. And he was given to speak with power and with authority. And then he has added such a precious confession and testimony. And that last point, much lies in that point. Oh, the preciousness. What Paul has stated concerning his God, whose I am and whom I serve. It's a fitting word for application. Who do we belong to, congregation? Who is our master? By nature, that is the devil. It's an awful master. One purpose, one design, to keep you under his clutches and to bring you into hell. But now, almighty grace, that is the work of that loving and powerful Spirit in the heart of sinners. I read in Isaiah 26, verse 13, that the church has confessed, other lords have had dominion over us, but by thee will we make mention of thy name only. O Paul, also knew another time. Blessed those children that do not know another time. But Paul, whose I am. Thus, Paul was actually given to state what we find in Lord's Day number 1. What is thy only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own. Body and soul belong unto my faithful Savior, who with his precious blood has redeemed me from all my sins and so delivered me from the power of the devil, that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head, and that the Holy Ghost assures me of eternal life, that my little ship at the end shall arrive at the haven of eternal bliss. And further, because Paul has said, I, whose I am. And then if you want to know whose you are, then Paul has added, whom I serve. Whom do you serve? Then the instructors have said, and that he sincerely makes me willing and ready henceforth to live to him. Has that now taken place? Oh, may it please the Lord. The Lord willing, when the Lord grants it, then we hope to explain it a little further. But may we now be given to go home and to examine, whose am I and whom do I serve? Amen. Let's close. Lord, may that question truly be bound upon all our hearts, whose we are and whom do we serve, O Lord. May it please thee by thy irresistible grace that many may be brought from under the banner of the Prince of Darkness and be placed under the glorious banner of Jesus Christ. Lord, where thou hast begun, so oftentimes the question, are they now sincerely ready and willing to live unto thee? But their sins, their heart disappoint, I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought, am I thine or am I not? Lord, confirm then thy own work. And oh, do grant unto thy people for a Paul 14-day silence, but to speak by renewal, to receive a new instruction, also when necessary, a correction. Lord, graciously watch over us in this day. May we be given to keep the Sabbath day holy. Return us in this evening our pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 245, the stanzas 1, 2, and 6. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home, and what follows. 247, the stanzas 1, 2, and 6. Receive the blessing of the Lord, and depart in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.